Morning, everybody, and welcome. What an amazing service. It's cool, thanks. What an amazing service. Baptisms are always such a profound thing to see, and really thankful to get to experience this with you. Now, communication is important, right? Any organization will tell you that bad communication is the bane of their existence. I mean, if you think about it, when there's bad communications, you might have something as, there might be a comical outcome. You might be and sitting around laughing, going, wow, that was a broken telephone, how we ended up with that message. Or it could have really dire consequences, where your lives could be lost, massive accidents happen, and it all comes down to communication. Now, the New Testament church had a similar problem in the sense that they never had internet and they didn't have that kind of communication. So they would send it out in letter form. So the apostle will send the letter with someone, a representative of them, and they would go off to the church where they're going to, so that the message of the gospel could be read out and the teaching, the doctrines and stuff could be taught in that way. So that was the way of having clear communication. For the last few months, we've been in the letters of John 1, 2, and this morning we start with 3 John. It is a fascinating little story. Coward mentioned it last week, but 2 and 3 John are the shortest books, in a sense, in the New Testament. In fact, it was probably one papyrus sheet each, one roll. That was the letter. That was it. There was nothing else to it. So we're going to be starting with 3 John. So if you have your Bibles, open up, please. We're going to be looking at 3 John. If you've got a physical Bible, it's found in the New Testament. Well, after 2 John, and just before the book of Jude. And again, it's literally a piece of paper. It'll be one page, so you should be fine with that. But if you have using your cell phone, then you know what to do. You just click and it opens. Okay. Now, we're going to be looking at 3 John in this way. We're going to be taking 2 weeks to go through it. I'm going to take the first 8 verses, and then Kyle will do verses 9 to 14 next week. And so it's a short passage. And I think it's important that since it's short, it's important to read the whole letter instead of just doing the 8 verses that we're going to do this morning because, well, it's a short letter and you get a better idea. And here's the thing, 3 John's it's got intrigue in it, okay? There's stuff going on. So it's actually, it's good to hear the full story. So I'm going to be reading from the NIV. Verse 1 goes like this. The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that you may go well with you and even with your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling you how to continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters. And even though they are strangers to you, they have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. So when I come, I will call attention to what he's doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and put them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God, and anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our test in me is true. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings and greet the friends there by name. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this great little letter. A lot of stuff going on in here, Father, but we pray that we would be able to just get some truth out of this and use it in our lives. Thank you. For what we've seen already in this service. Thank you that we see people whose lives have been changed. And we realize, Father, that your word brings truth and opens our hearts to you. And so, Father, we just pray now that we all be able to hear this from you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, last week, we finished 2 John, and as it ended, with there was this, John was asking, or the church, he's saying, hey, you know, be careful about who you let into your homes, right? Be careful who you are being hospitable to. Be careful who you allow into your pulpits to preach to your church. Why? Because if you let someone dodgy in there, in essence, in verse 11, he says, you're partnering with evil. You're partnering with the devil. And so that's kind of how John ends, 2 John ends. 3 John, however, is slightly different. It is a, as you've already listened from it, there's some, a little bit of intrigue, a little bit of dodgy stuff happening, not dodgy stuff, but bad stuff happening in the church. And so it actually does, it tells you that, you know what, these New Testament churches also had leadership problems. The New Testament church also had issues that needed to be dealt with. And what's great about it is John is showing us a way of how he's kind of speaking into those issues. Now, 3 John, as you said, it is short, and there's two, the time frame of these letters are interesting. There's two schools of thought in terms of when the letters were written. Most commentators fall into either one of them. Now, the first one, Richard Lenski, was a Lutheran theologian, he actually says that it was probably written on the same day, right after each other, to the same church. But 3 John is actually written to a different leader in the church, okay? And that's his. The other school of thought, probably championed by another commentator called F.F. Bruce, he believes that it was there's what we would call in a bit of an extended timeline. So not exactly on the same day, but rather the second letter went out, but was blocked by the leader. And we read in 3 John, the guy called Diotrephes. So Bruce feels that the second letter failed to have the effect on the church, or the church get the wisdom of 2 John, because, well, Diotrephes didn't allow it to get into the church, and so blocked it and chased the guys away. And so it is on this that John sends them 2 John again, but he takes 3 John as a cover letter. So he kind of puts it on top of that one and says, like, this is why I'm sending this to you again. And he's sending it to a leader in the church, Gaius, a man who he trusts. And he kind of says, well, I know this man, and I'm going to send it to him because I know I can trust him with this. Now, whether this was written on the same day or in an extended timeline, I don't think it's important. What we do know is that there was a massive issue in the church. The Diotrephes was causing a bit of a problem, and John has to now, as the apostle, take charge and come to deal with it. And so he sends off this letter. This morning, I'm going to have 2 points. And hopefully that means that it's short, okay? But 2 points that we're getting. The first point is this: celebrating those walking in the truth, verses 1-4. And I'm going to read 1-4 again. The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling you how to continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Now, just in terms of the letter, 3 John kind of steps back into what we would call almost a normal letter writing. Remember, 2 John started off where he addressed the lady. You know, it kind of steps away. However, the normal New Testament letter writing, it's generally addressed directly to a person first, okay? So he's writing to, so 3 John snaps back to that norm and goes to Gaius. So he's talking to his friend Gaius. And right from the beginning of this letter, you sense that John has a sense of familiarity with Gaius. He knows him. Then I know the NIV has said dear friend, but other translations use the term beloved. It says my beloved, which conveys deep affection for this man. And so John starts with these customary introductories that all letters, like, I hope you're doing well, you know, hope life's treating you well, hope your soul's good, you know, it's good, you know, it's like if you write a letter to someone, you generally start off with those kind of things. You don't just jump into it. You're kind of like, hey, I hope you're doing well. You know, so that's kind of the sense what in the first verse or so that John, verse 2 verses that John is trying to bring across. But then he takes a bit of a deeper step in. He makes it a little bit more personal. He goes, you know what? Some people that I know have met you and speak highly of your faithfulness to the truth. Some people that I know that has visited your church, has met you, and they come back with a message to me saying, this Gaius guy, is special. This guy's guy is good. He's faithful. He holds to the truth. Now, just interesting, if you read through all three of these letters, the truth means one thing. The truth means the gospel of Jesus Christ, the unadulterated gospel. Nothing's been added to it. Nothing's been taken away. It is the message that the apostles have been preaching right from the beginning. This man, Gaius, has held on to that and still preaches it. He hasn't added to it. He hasn't allowed outside influences. And remember, in the letters of John, there are issues where the weird teaching is coming into the church. But Gaius has held the road. He's held the line. He's stuck by the truth. And he's kept in there. And so John is like, you know, I've got this message, this report that's come back to me saying, you are doing well. You are doing it right. You're holding on to the truth. And he gets a little bit more personal. And he's like, these people are speaking highly of you. And you know what? That makes me excited. That makes me happy. Because we kind of get the idea or the understanding from this that John has a deeper relationship with Gaius. Most likely, Gaius was a man that John has discipled or mentored, has led him to the faith, has journeyed him for a while. And there's a fatherly love that he has for this man. And it's kind of like when anyone who has a parent has a child that leaves the house and the child goes on and he's doing so well in the world. There's a sense of pride in it, isn't it? Like, that's my boy. That's my girl. She's doing well. You know, yeah. When you meet friends, have a bride, like, you know what he's doing, you know? And you kind of share the story about how amazing their child is. But in a sense, this is what John is doing, right? He's talking about his spiritual child who he has mentored and walked, and he's hearing these stories and these messages are coming back to him, probably and from strangers that have left from his church and come and say, Gaius is such a good guy. And this gives John a sense of pride and a sense of joy. In fact, he finishes up saying that, you know, whenever he uses the language of whenever I hear of my children doing well, I'm filled with joy. Okay, the language is of fatherly love, which we see all the way through the letters of John. When he speaks of he refers to them as children, people that he loves. He's had a hand at them coming to faith, and so he loves them in that way. Now, I found this incredibly encouraging when I read this. And I tell you why. A few weeks ago, I preached, and my mom forwarded me a WhatsApp message from a friend. Now, this was a man that I had growing up. I was a teenager at that time. You know, you're kind of helping out in youth, and then I was asked to help lead the youth group. And this guy kind of walked alongside me. In fact, he helped me lead these youth groups together, and we had just an amazing time. And he had such an incredible influence over my teen life in just journeying with God. Encouraged me to pray. He would pray with me. We would chat. We would talk about Bible stuff together. And it was just a gentle discipling that took place, very casually, but it was just something that was really meaningful to me. And anyway, so long story short, my mom WhatsApped a message to me from this guy, and he had somehow came across Jubilee's video thing and had watched the sermon. Actually, now that I think of it, my mother probably sent him the link. Okay? Now that as I say that, I'm like, but he got it. He watched it, and he watched back, and he just says, oh, you know, please send this to Lester. Just say, it warms my heart to see that he's still holding the line, that he's preaching the gospel, and he's teaching, and it is just a joy to see. And I got that message, and my spirit was excited. My heart was warmed, right? I was like, yeah. Wow, here's the guy that I remember as a teen that I would speak things and something like really immature at times for a teenager trying to understand this. But he just patiently walked with me. And when he saw that, he was like, well done. I'm so happy that to see that Lester's still on the way. And I think this is what John is doing to Gaius right now. He has invested in his life. Okay, he has spent in guys. Gaius has now gone off, and he's now in a church, and he's most likely a leader in the church. And Johnny's like, you know what? I'm hearing stories about you, and it makes my heart filled with joy because I can see that you're holding to the truth. I am thankful for what God is doing through you. John is celebrating what God is doing in Gaius's life. Now, how do we make this application? I'm going to try to do application straight after the point today. How do we apply this? These verses of which John is celebrating what God is doing in someone's life. How do we apply it to us today? I think firstly, I think we need to take a moment to celebrate the people who have had a discipling or mentoring role in our walk with Jesus. We need to take a moment and remember them, because a lot of it may have happened in our youth and we kind of just moved on and life has changed. You know, we've got families, we've got, you know, and you kind of forget about, but these people have had an indelible mark in our life by the grace of God in our lives. And so all of us in this room already who has been journeying with God for a while will probably remember someone who has prayed for you, who has walked with you, who read scripture with you, who, you know, gave ear to your troubles, sometimes teenage troubles, which not really important, but they still listened to it and they prayed with you. And they journeyed with you and they shined Jesus to you. And sometimes some of the habits that you have now in terms of your Bible reading, in terms of your praying, if you look back at it, you'll realize that, hey, it was that person that when they walked with me, kind of taught me this thing, and I'd still do it today. So we all have those people that we can look to and go, hey, that guy was my mentor. Some of them might be still alive. Some of them may have passed on. I know for me, in my family, my grandmother was an incredible little lady, but incredible woman of God. And she prayed for her family. Like, and one of the things that she prayed right into her dying day was that someone of her family would go on and become a pastor in a church. That was her heart. And she prayed for it. And now, a lot of my cousins have married pastors and things like that. But when I finally felt God's call to go into ministry, I mean, she was long gone by then. I remember my mom and her sisters all like just really rejoicing, saying, that's what your ama did. She prayed for you. And she prayed that someone would go out. And so we all have these people that have had massive impacts in our lives. And my challenge to us as we apply this is that remember the people and celebrate those people. Maybe it's a phone call if you can. Maybe it's a letter if you still write that, or email, or make contact with those people and go, hey, thank you. Thank you for what you did. Thank you that you have that impact on my life. The other way around that is that maybe you are looking for someone to do that too, because someone impacted you and built into your life that way. I think as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be doing it as well for our next generation to help mentor and walk them and walk with them. We want more people to be John to their guises, right? To be able to celebrate what God is doing in people as you have prayed to. And if you're looking for those opportunities, make contact with the elders, speak to Darren or Matt or Jeremy and say, like, you know, are there young people that are looking for this, for some sort of mentor? I want to give into their lives. I want to take my time and invest into this generation of Jesus followers so that we can be able to celebrate what God is doing with this generation. All right, let's move on to our next point. Point number two, we are in this together. Verse 5 and 8. Dear friends, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters. Even though they are strangers to you, they have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that they may work together for the truth. Now, I think at this point, we're getting into the actual meat of the letter, right? The previous few verses, the first four verses, were very introductory, where the politeness in a verse, in a sense, you know, they kind of get that away. But now we're getting into the glimpse of what's, you know, stuff that's happening in the church, the actual stuff. And what we are getting here is a glimpse of the custom of the New Testament church that was practiced when it came to Christ followers who traveled for the purpose of the gospel. So this is kind of what was happening. This is how the New Testament churches kind of reacted to these messengers that were coming with the messages from the apostle. We start to see hospitality that they would experience from the local churches that they were visiting. Now, most preachers, actually, all the preachers in those days were not very wealthy. Okay, they did not have, I don't know, white Gucci suits and private planes. Okay, this was not anywhere near that. These guys were fellow, you know, guys that were discipled by the apostles, and then they were sent out to go and take these messages to the people. So they weren't very wealthy. And so it would have been an incredible help to them to be able to get to a place and know that there was a place to stay, a bed, food, a roof over their heads, and you know, that those things. It was just really helpful for the message of the gospel to go forward. And they couldn't really stay in inns or hotels, you know, along the way, because one, that was fairly expensive, and two, inns at that time in those periods never really had a very good reputation. There's a lot of dodgy stuff happening, and it was dangerous. You could be robbed, and so it wasn't the greatest place to be. And so for them to be able to go to a church and know that there was a place, there was a safe place for them to rest, take a break, breathe, and then get ready to preach the gospel and preach the message of the gospel was really helpful. And so John spends some time commending guys because reports are coming back to John. Now remember, the stuff is happening constantly. It wasn't just one man. There was this group of people that were constantly being sent out. And these guys are coming back. He says, you know, we stayed at Gaius' church. It was such an amazing experience. We felt loved, we felt cared for, we felt safe, and it was just the right. And that man Gaius was so loving and just was the best host possible. And again, remember, John's got this joy in his heart because here his spiritual son is doing all the stuff, and now he's hearing even better stuff about him and how he's being hospitable. And he's like, hey, this is it. Well done, John. I hear you doing this, and the message is getting to me that you are doing so well. And you're doing this incredibly because these men that are coming to your church are strangers to you. You don't even know them from a bar of soap, if they had soap in those days, but you didn't even know them, okay? But you are still treating them with loving kindness. You are treating them as a brother of Christ should be treating them. And there's reports of Gaius' hospitality and generosity come back to John. And he even takes it a bit further when he kind of says, it's not just providing for their stay here and now, providing for them while they're in your church. The custom and what these guys were doing would, but they would give them a little bit extra so they have enough money to get to the next destination. Okay, so it wasn't just taking care of them while they were with them. It was almost sending them off. Well, when they leave, that they have something to be able to get to the next next destination. And he says, the reason why you do this is because, first of all, you're identifying with the fact that they have a message. That's the message of Christ. And that is why you are doing this. You have this hope that you have in that. You're holding on. You both have this thing that's familiar. It's the same. You with that, you are taking out, right? So you are getting the message to go out because you all have one Savior, and that is Christ. And therefore, you do this. You don't ask the pagans for money. Now, that's important to ponder. If there was a good-hearted non-believer that wanted to give to us, it's not saying you mustn't take that, but what he's saying is that the responsibility is with you. As brothers and sisters in Christ, the responsibility is with you to take care of them and to send them off when they're done in a way that honors God. In fact, as I said, what is the big picture here? Why is this important? Well, firstly, if you go back to John, remember we had that whole story about the hospitality and be careful about what you're doing. John is trying to make them understand this, that it's not just the gospel preacher that is doing the work of God. It's the whole church that's doing it. The hospitality that is shown to them is part of that. You are in it together. It's not just one person doing it. The group is doing it together. By you supporting the mission, by you supporting the gospel, you are part of that message that's being preached. Do you understand? And this is why it was so important in 2 John, where he said, be careful of what you do. Because if you have the wrong person in there, an unfaithful teacher of the gospel, a person that is dodgy, and he speaks, you are partnering with the devil. And so in the same way, he says, these guys are the right guys. These are the good guys. They have come and they're preaching it. You are partner. You are in it together. Now, here's the thing, church. If we are in it together, what is the implication, for us? If we are in the gospel together, we are preaching it together, we are supporting missions. Well, first, we've got to be careful of who we are supporting, right? straight up. We've got to be understand. We've got to take care, because if we're in it together, it matters who we support. So we may be supporting gospel teachers. Cool, I know many churches make donations and help mission agencies where the gospel's being preached. That's cool. But also, we need to be careful on where and where our support goes to. So it matters. In terms of the people that we ask, we've got to check, well, is there integrity? Is there integrity in what the person is doing? Is he a man or woman of integrity? Are his core doctrinal beliefs solid? And that it holds true to what Scripture is teaching? Are they grace? Has he show examples of grace-filled leadership in the way they lead? Always on display. Church, it even matters to the type of conferences that we go to. It matters the kind of books that we are reading. And in the age of social media, it matters of whose voices fill our heads. Who are the influencing voices that we are listening to? It matters because we're in it together. Those voices have a way of coming out. And if we are listening to the wrong voices continually, it eventually will come out and will be in our behavior. And if we're in it together, then we're partnering with evil. Do you see? All these things matter because we have become fellow workers with them. Now, Gaius was able to discern by the help of God what was right. And for that, he was celebrated. And as we go forward, church, we need to recognize that our role that we play in the propagation and the proclamation of the gospel. We don't come here every Sunday and just sit in our chairs and do nothing. We are part of the mission of Jesus. So it matters what we're doing because we are in it together. So let's celebrate the people that has taught the truth. Let's celebrate those. Let us take steps of being able to help support new generations of people with the truth and disciple and mentor. This is really a call to mentorship. And lastly, let us recognize that we're in it together. We're in it together. It's an amazing mission. The gospel mission of Jesus Christ is the greatest calling that any follower of Jesus can have. And here's it. All of us are called to be on mission. We're all in it together. And we support it in the way which God has given us. Some of us can be incredibly hospitable. Some of us can stand up on stage and preach. Some of us can sing. We all have different roles to play, but we're all in it together. So it matters on what we do. Shall we pray? Jesus, we thank you for the joy of the gospel. We thank you that the message of Jesus Christ changes the world and changes our lives. Father, we thank you for men and women that have impacted us and have discipled us and have journeyed with us so that we might know and hold to the truth. And God, help us to be faithful with that. Help us to be great in terms of hearing and discerning. Help us, give us the wisdom so we can respond to your word, that we can be hospitable, that we care for one another and recognize that we are part of this with you on mission for the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.